Well, over the last few Sundays, as you well know, we've been reminding ourselves about this amazing story. And we began this morning with that great hymn, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, and we've sung what Jesus accomplished when he grew up. He didn't stay a baby in the manger. He grew up. And although that song that we sing so often, Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, I'm sure he did. And he grew up, and he grew up to be a man, and he grew up to be our Savior. You rose, the grave and death are conquered. You broke my bonds of sin and shame. O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer, may all my days bring glory to your name. And in particular, over the last few Sundays, we've been looking at different witnesses who've emphasized a different attribute and name of the Lord Jesus Christ and a different aspect of his glory. Let's just quickly remind ourselves, Elizabeth spoke of him as her Lord. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And Mary herself, in that same chapter in verse 46, says, my soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Holy is his name. And then we get to the angels in chapter 2, verse 11. It says, today a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. It's all different names and different aspects of his glory. Simeon continues the theme when he was told by the Holy Spirit, if you remember, that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And when this young peasant couple come into the temple and bring in the child Jesus, he declares, mine eyes have seen your salvation. And then in the AV it says, and of course we know he would have used the AV, of course, it says, now let us thy servant depart in peace. He'd seen what his life had been preserved to see. He had seen Christ the Messiah. And what did he say? Take me home. Take me home. He doesn't say that in the Bible. That's, what do you call it? Spiritual imagination, I think. And then we have Anna, who we didn't look at, but the priestess who lived in the temple. And when she saw the child, she declared that this child was the Redeemer and was to be the redemption of Israel. And we've forgotten Zechariah, who proclaimed that his son John was the one who was to go before to prepare the way for him who, because of God's tender mercy, would give his people the knowledge of salvation and forgiveness of sins. And just as Joseph was told, you will call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save their people from their sins. So those are all the different names that we've been looking at and aspects of the character and revealing some aspect of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. My Lord, my Savior, Christ the Messiah, the Redeemer, the giver of salvation through faith and trust in him. Is he yours today? And then finally this morning, we're going on to consider another tremendous aspect of his glory, emphasized to us by the Magi, the wise men or the kings, the fact that he is king. He is king. Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? And all of this emphasizes to us, doesn't it? And reminding, if we needed reminding, that we've been recalling an amazing story full of glory and wonder. And it didn't just happen. It was all planned. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament. So this was a fulfillment of Scripture, which is still alive today. So please turn to Matthew 2 if you have a Bible. If not, just follow it on the screen. And we will read from chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star, and when it rose, and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the inspired, precious word of God. Well, this is all too familiar, this story, hasn't it, to us? It's been greatly embellished over the years with a bit of Yuletide imagination as to what's happened. Well, we're going to quickly look at the story this morning, look at what we can learn from it in a way of application for the way forward in the new year. And that's going to be simply under the heading WISE. WISE, W-I-S-E. Firstly, W, who were they? Well, much ink has been used up on the theories as to who they may well be, where they came from, who they were. We could spend a great deal of time this morning speculating who they may be. We're just told that they're Magi from the East in the scriptures. There are other scriptures and other words, of course, in ancient documents. My advice to you this morning is that very simply, we don't really know. And which I'm afraid you'll hear two or three times this morning. Were they astronomers? Were they students of the stars? Well, yes, they were. Were they astrologers? Well, using the stars as some sort of cosmic superstitious guidance, maybe. Were they kings? Possibly. Were they really wise? After all, they did go to the wrong place. Over the years, and this has always amused me, they've been given names and using other ancient texts, and all this is quite possible, you know, because texts do exist. The one I like best is Caspar, who I always thought was a friendly ghost. But I'm afraid if you look for him in scripture, he's just like a ghost because he isn't there. The Bible simply says Magi, who had a specific role over the year, distant lands, were from the east, which is a long way away from Jerusalem. Were there three? We don't know. We're not told there were three. The Bible simply says that they came. Yes, there were three gifts, but they may have come from one person. So what do we know? We know that they traveled a long way. It was a long journey. It was a huge commitment. People think it could have been anything between 100 and 800 miles that they traveled. Not down the A30 or M5. Terrible terrain, 20 miles a day if you're fortunate. How did they travel? Well, that's another one. Camels, horses, who knows? But we do know that they followed a star. What do they say? They say, we have seen his star. His star. And this star was special. Now, I'm not really into this sort of thing, but stars are an amazing thing. And stars like the sun track their own path. His star was different. It moved. And it changed direction. You'll see that in a moment, maybe, if I remember. We have seen his star and come to worship him. Their studies, and it's credit to their diligence that they studied so hard, that had led them to believe that a star will appear, it will be a sign, and it will mean a new king is born, and it will be from God's favored nation, Israel, the Jews. And that's good research, isn't it? Now, it does suggest that although it was difficult at the time for the people of Israel, that the time of their exile in Babylon and the writings that were produced there by Daniel and others, and even the possible teaching and preaching of Daniel, had left its mark in that area, in Babylonian history. And these were wise men, these were magi, whose job it was to dig into these things and to look into these things. And they were religious men. They were individuals that God had chosen in the fullness of time to proclaim his birth and purpose and to teach us how to respond. They followed the star. They knew this was going to be significant. And it, you know, never underestimate it. It was a huge, huge thing. And when it stopped over of a house in Bethlehem, what did they do? They found Jesus. They were searching and seeking answers, and they did eventually find them. So who were they? They were searchers and seekers looking for an answer. Maybe that's you today. They were inquisitive, In their minds, they knew that they were looking for a king because, you know, they had the scriptures there in Babylon that Daniel had probably left behind and the people of Israel had left behind when they eventually left, went back to Israel. And we read that prophecy, a star shall rise out of David and a scepter will rise out of Israel. A scepter, what kings hold. So that prophecy said there's going to be a star and there's going to be a king. And it'll be from Israel. So they were inquisitive. So they were looking for a king. So they went to a palace. And they arrive in Jerusalem looking for answers. And how ironic that they asked Herod. Now here's an interesting character. Often referred to as Herod the Great. Indeed, a lot about him and his actions were great. He did amazing things during his time in authority. But he was insanely jealous and cruel. He was very obsessed with his family, were after his throne. And he had the wives, I think he had two or three wives, and he had the one that he really, really loved. Murdered because she thought she was trying to poison him. He had his two sons killed, and the list of his murderous acts go on and on. He was insanely jealous and cruel. And he was definitely not born king. Far from it. He more or less pronounced himself king, presented himself to the Roman governor, and he said, you know, I'll be pretty good. I'll be pretty good with these Jews. I'll sort them out. Make me king. And that's what he did. He was so anxious that his family would desert him, he had most of them killed. No wonder when he heard this news that there's somebody here who was born king, who had the right to be king because he was born king. No wonder he was disturbed. He was in the words of a song of a famous singer, he was all shook up. He would have been quaking in his shoes with that question, where is he? And it's often said, isn't it, that the wisest of people ask the simplest of questions. And it's a simple question, isn't it? Where is the one born king? Couldn't get any simpler. And can you imagine Herod's face when he heard that from these, well, not insignificant men and their entourage? I don't suppose they traveled the desert and the mountains from wherever they were in their turbans and flowing robes, or maybe they did, I don't know. But they must have been quite a sight. Born king? Herod. When you find him, be sure to come back and tell me where he is. That wasn't going to happen, was it? God's great plan. So Herod sends them off. And then thirdly, there's the scribes, S. What a group to know the answer. I mean, you would expect them to know the answer. That's their job. Looking into the Bible and learning all about it and knowing the Old Testament and knowing the laws. But you get the impression here, don't you, that all this happened quite quickly. When we read, they said, Herod says to them, he said, when he had called all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, he said, where the Messiah was to be born. Hang on, how do we get to from born king to the Messiah? We've not done digging deeper sheets, but that's maybe something you can think about in your home groups this week. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. So you see, we see immediately that Herod wasn't daft. He kind of knew the scriptures as well. In fact, he'd made himself over them, got rid of all the Sanhedrin and so on. But that's another story. The answer came back fairly quickly. They knew the answer. They could answer that one. We've some questions, though, don't we? How do we get from where is the one who'd been born king of the Jews to where the Messiah was to be born? But the scribes had the answer. Clever fellows, these scribes. They had the knowledge. What was their problem? Their knowledge hadn't moved to their heart. They couldn't really help. The Magi had to resort to the star to fully direct the Magi to the place where he was. You see, God had to intervene. We'll come back to this later. And finally, how does it end? Well, this is where there's often further speculation. It's suddenly, you know, when they got to Jerusalem, did the star disappear? We don't know. We might be able to ask them. But what happened when they saw the star? Because it had disappeared, maybe. And when it appeared again, they were overjoyed. There it was again. There are also so many other questions we could ask them when we get to glory, couldn't we? Questions they asked to Mary and others, and more questions that they maybe have asked Herod that aren't recorded. But there's two endings. on this journey, on this account, on coming to the house. You see, when the star moved and reappeared again, then it moved to the exact spot where Jesus was. That's amazing, isn't it? The star moved. Or they were in exactly the right house. But whatever the reason, God was at work, and the Creator God was at work. And on arriving at the house, seeing the star, they were overjoyed, just like the shepherds were amazed. They were overjoyed. And they saw the child with his mother. What happened when they came to the house? They saw. They bowed. They worshipped. They gave. Four things when we see the Lord Jesus for who he really is. And then the second ending, of course, which you know, Herod was on their back, that they knew not to trust him. So God warned them to go home, a scripture. And James Taylor said, if you know who he is, by another way. He wrote a song on this, the Magi. He's quite a well-known rock and roll person. So how can we apply that to ourselves this morning? Firstly, who are you? Where are you? This account reinforces to us the sovereignty of God, that he has grace on those who wishes to give grace and mercy upon those who wish to give mercy. The shepherds needed an amazing sign, an angel's. And to be told out of the blue when they were just there minding their sheep. So it was almost like an instant revelation. The Magi are wise men learnt through more diligent study and knowledge. So I don't think we've got many shepherds this morning, but I think we've got quite a few wise men and women. Are you seeking? Are you searching? How did the Magi learn that they were almost in the right place? Through the scribes. What did the scribes use? This is what the prophet has written. They turned to the scriptures. But you see, sadly today, a lot of people might be leading you to the scriptures and guiding you in the scriptures, but they don't know Christ. Knowledge isn't enough. You may be in that place and you've been searching, and then suddenly you find that you're in the wrong place. You haven't found that comfort and peace that only the Lord Jesus can give. But you know, God can use that opportunity to you in the wrong place to guide you to the right place. And the scriptures is the right place, but they need to be interpreted wisely. This is where you'll find the answer. This book, I thought I had one here, but it's not, tells us all about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who came to save us, is all in there. Tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Tells us that there is only one mediator between God and mankind. Who's that? The man, Christ Jesus, and what he did. That baby in the manger, that one who was born king, became the crucified Christ. But he rose again and is seated at the Father's right hand. Have you seen him? Do you know him? When the Magi saw the star, they were overjoyed. When they entered the house, it was even better, wasn't it? They saw the child. They saw Jesus. The response, they bowed down not to the star which led them there, not to Mary who was with the child, but to him. When you see who Jesus really is, you see you need to bow down. You need to bow down. You need to submit. I used to play wrestling with my brothers, who always beat me. And what you would say, you'd bang the floor or you'd bang them. Submit, submit. And that's what you need to do when you come to the Lord Jesus. We had a friend up in Worcester, very successful businessman. He ran a couple of hotels up there. And one of his family came to know the Lord, and he came to our church up in Worcester. And the whole family came to know the Lord. It was wonderful. And when he was giving his testimony, when he was being baptized, he suddenly realized that when he was in conversation with the person who was counseling him, he just suddenly said, when I trust in the Lord Jesus, I need to bow down, don't I? He says, I've never bowed to anybody. But our friend who was leading him to Christ said, you've got to bow down to Jesus. They bowed down. And then what did they do? They worshipped him. Now, I'm assuming they didn't drag a 10-piece worship band and 32-pipe organ in. It wasn't on their entourage, I don't think. But they just simply saw who he was. And what did they do? What was the response? Worship. Worship. You see, it's how your heart is, isn't it? They knew that they were in front of the creator of the universe. They knew that they were in front of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the soon-to-be-risen Savior of the world. It wouldn't take long, just a few short years. And they worshipped him. But it didn't end there, did it? And then they began to realize that when they knew who he was and what he was and what he'd come for, they knew that they had to give. They had to give. It's not all take. They had to give. They gave. What can I give him? Poor as I am, if I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can I give him? Give my heart. There's lots we don't know about this story, but there's lots that we do know. We could have sung so many hymns this morning to do with this theme. One of my favorite is this one. I cannot tell why he, whom angels worship, should set his love upon the sons of men, or why a shepherd he should seek the wanderers to bring them back. They know not how or when, but this I know, that he was born of Mary. And then it goes on, the whole hymn goes on and ends with, but this I know. He heals the brokenhearted and stays our sin and calms our lurking fear and lifts the burden from the heavy laden. But this I know, all flesh will see his glory, and he shall reap the harvest he has sown, and some glad day his sun shall shine in splendor. And this I know, the skies will thrill with rapture, and myriad, myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven, and heaven to earth will answer, at last the Savior, Savior of the world is King. This I know. Do you know he is your Savior? How are we going to follow him, those of us who do, in 2025? It's a new year, and we don't know what it will hold. And as we close, consider the words of our closing hymns. We don't do it alone. We're not on a lone journey. The Magi would have had a huge entourage. We're together, and we need to go together. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you need to find people who think the same, come together in church and feed and help one another. We don't do it alone, and all our ways are known to Him. The Magi were told to go another way. What way do you need to go this morning? Do you need to try another way if you've not put your faith and trust in Him? If you have, how are you serving Him? Maybe you need to go another way with God and Him holding your hand. Take that scriptural advice today, and if you haven't put your trust in Him, it's time to go home another way. Put your hand in His, and we will all go together. Amen. Our Father, we just thank You for Your word. It challenges, it encourages, it lifts us up. But Father, we just thank You that whatever we do in the knowledge that we're with You. You're guiding us, You're showing us. No matter what's ahead, You will be there, and all our ways are known to You. And we're safely held in Your hand. Thank You for Your word this morning. And we just ask that we won't just be good listeners, but we will be good doers and go out and change and live for You in the week ahead, to be salt and light in this dark, dark world. And follow You, an amazing Creator, Almighty, glorious Savior and King. These things we pray in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen.